we've been tracking that word go through this entire month of August as it pertains to our responsibility as Christians to go and to tell other people about the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That first Sunday in August, we looked in Psalm 126, and it says that he who continually goes forth weeping, bearing precious seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bearing sheaves. Talks about us going and just spreading the gospel message to people, spreading it with a heart that's burdened for them, praying for them, and that we will come again with people who were once captive, now free with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then last Sunday, we looked at Hebrews chapter 13, where it tells us to go outside our comfort zone, to go outside the camp to where Jesus is. That's where he suffered and bled and died, outside the gates of Jerusalem. And that's where he is today. He's outside our comfort zone, and he's working in the lives of those who are waiting for us to go and to share the precious gospel with them. And I love the verse for today. It's in the book of Mark. And so if you have your Bible, would you turn with me there to the second book in the New Testament, the 16th chapter, that's the last chapter, and the 15th verse. And there Jesus says to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's what we ought to be doing as believers. Now, I want you to notice to whom Jesus gave this first commission. They're just called them. It says, and he, that's Jesus, said to them. The them that he is referring to are the people back up in verse 14. And it's the 11 disciples. And so let's look at who these them are by reading verse 14. Later he, that's Jesus, appeared to the 11. That's the them that Jesus made the first missionaries in verse 15, the 11 disciples. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him, Jesus, after he had risen. Isn't that amazing? The first missionaries of this great commission were guys who just in the space of one verse before didn't even believe that Jesus had been resurrected. That's why we could very well call them, number one in your notes, the doubters. They were skeptics that would now become the evangelists to a lost and dying world. And the main obstacle that they would have to overcome as these first century missionaries was doubts. As they preached the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ, their hearers would doubt just like they did in verse 14. So they understood firsthand what it was like to doubt the wonderful message of Jesus' resurrection. And they're very much like us. I think that there's a lot of people sitting in this building today who would love to share about Jesus, but it's your own personal doubts. I mean, you know you're saved, but it's your own personal doubts that keep you from telling other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to offer to you seven ways that you can overcome doubts as a believer and be an effective sharer of the good news. Number one, there on the screen, admit your doubts and ask for help. You know, this is where I think a lot of us fail. We just feel like people are going to think we're not Christians if we say, you know, I have some doubts, I have some uncertainties. You know, everyone goes through periods of time in their life where they have questions, where they have uncertainty. And you ought to be able to come to church. And you ought to be able to find a Christian friend that you can admit your doubts to and then ask them for help. Then the second thing is you ought to hang around people of faith, people who have strong faith in the Lord. If you hang around people that are filled with doubts and uncertainties, then that's just going to add to your feelings of doubt. But if you find a Sunday school class, a small group, where there are strong believers, people who are living and walking by faith, that's going to encourage you in your faith. in the Lord Jesus Christ. Third bullet, very important. Act on your faith, not on your doubts. You think about Noah in the Old Testament. God told him to build an ark for the saving of his family because he was going to send a great flood to the earth. But what we forget about Noah is he had never seen a raindrop in his entire life. Ms. Rodriguez is from El Paso, Texas, and they don't see much rain in El Paso. It'd be like someone in El Paso building an ark for a flood that's about to come. Well, you know, I'm sure Noah had a lot of doubts about that over the 120 years he built the ark. But he still acted on his faith and not on his doubts. And think about also Abram. In Genesis, whenever God called him out of his comfort zone to go to a place that he had never seen, a place that he'd never heard of, and God said, just follow me step by step. It would have been real easy for him to act on his doubts and not on his faith. And so we need to admit our doubts when we have them and seek help. We need to hang around people who are strong in their faith, and we need to act on our faith and not on our doubts. The fourth bullet there is to let go of uncertainties. You know, there's a lot of things that we don't know about our faith. And I want to make a statement here that might be worth writing down. There is nothing wrong with having some mystery in your faith. Now, for perfectionists like me, I want everything tied up in a nice little bow and everything to line up and make sense. But the truth of the matter is, there are some things that I will never, ever understand until I see Jesus face to face. There are some mysteries of faith, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong to having some mystery in your faith. And so just let go of those uncertainties and keep on trusting God. Now, this next piece of advice I think is very important. Just sing. When you're having doubts and they seem to be crippling your faith and you're filled with uncertainties, man, buy a CD. Get one of Rodrigo's CDs that he's going to have out here in the narthex later or tonight if you didn't come prepared. And get one of those CDs. And like those songs that he played for us just a while ago, Be Thou My Vision. Man, put it in there, that beautiful guitar music, and you just start singing it. God, you're my vision, not all these uncertainties and these doubters that are around me. And then the next song that he played, Shout to the Lord, my Jesus, my Savior. Oh, friend, when you do that, those doubts just kind of melt away as you worship God. God bless you for being in this service today. You're around people of faith, and we're lifting our voices in song, and it just feels like some of those doubts you had are just melting away into the background. Also, never forget, this is really the most important thing. Always go back to the Bible. Go back to the Bible. And words like Romans 8 and verse 38, where the Apostle Paul says, I am persuaded. He didn't say, I'm wondering about it, I'm guessing about it. He said, I am absolutely persuaded beyond a shadow of a doubt that nothing is going to separate me from the love of God. It was the same Apostle Paul that was speaking to Timothy that used that word persuaded again when he said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he can keep me until that day. Friend, when you read words like that, it just makes faith rise up within your soul, and it makes those doubts just kind of fade into the background. One of my favorites is 1 John 5:13. It says, these things have been written to you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know, not hope, not wish, not guess, but that you might know that you have eternal life. When we open up the book and we get into the Word of God, it makes those doubts just go back into the background. And then finally, learn apologetics. Well, I didn't know I had to apologize to anyone. That's just a big word that means defend your faith. Learn how to defend your faith. I'm so proud of our young people. They have a new Sunday school curriculum now, and it's based on apologetics so that they can defend their faith on the school campus, in the classroom. It prepares them for the next step in their life, whether it be in the military or in school or in a job or a career, because they're going to have challenges to their faith. And we need to be ready to give an answer for the faith that is in us. That's what our children learned during Vacation Bible School this year, how to defend their faith. And so we need to be doing that, and that will help those doubts just melt away into the background. Something that's so encouraging to me is to know that some of the biggest doubters and skeptics in history became some of the greatest evangelists. One of them is Josh McDowell. Josh McDowell, as a young intellectual, was skeptical about the Bible, and he took this book and he started reading through it, trying to disprove it. And the more he read this book, the more he discovered that it was the truth. And now he is one of the greatest apologists and defender of the faith. You might be in the same boat as Josh McDowell. You might have some real skepticism and unbelief about the truth and the veracity of the Word of God. And as you get into God's Word, you're going to see it's true. And God's going to light a fire in you, and you're going to be able to share the truth of God's Word with those who do not know Him. And so these doubters here in verse 15 become number two in your notes, the deliverers. Look at verse 15 again. It says, Jesus speaking to these former doubters, go into the world and preach the gospel. Now, the word gospel means good news. And good news isn't good news until you know the bad news. It reminds me of a pastor who received a visit from a lady in his office one day, and she was very concerned that she hadn't found a husband yet. And so the pastor gave her the best advice he could think to give her, and he prayed with her. And then she left the office, and he didn't see her for several months. One day he was walking downtown, and he saw this lady that so desperately wanted a husband. And he asked her, he said, how is your search for a husband going? And she said, well, it went well. I got married just a few weeks ago. And he said, well, that's great. I'm so happy to hear that. That's good news. She said, no, it's bad news. He's old. And so the pastor said, oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that. She says, no, it's good news. He's rich. And I said, oh, pastor, oh, that's great news, good news. She said, no, it's bad news. He's stingy and he won't give me one red cent. And the pastor said, oh, that is bad news. I'm very, very sorry to hear that. And she said, no, it's good news. He built me a real big mansion. And it's got all kinds of rooms and luxuries in it. And the pastor said, well, now that's good news. And the woman said, no, that's bad news. It burned the other day, burned to the ground. And he said, oh, I'm so sorry. That is really, really bad news. She said, no, it's good news. He was in it. Good news isn't good news until you know the bad news. And so the bad news is there is a place that's called hell in the Bible. Jesus had twice as much to say about hell as he did heaven. Hell is a real place. It's a place of eternal separation from the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those who do not receive the good news by faith, they will go to that place of awful bad news. And so that makes the good news really good, doesn't it? Knowing the bad news first. And I pray that if you've never received the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll do it today. I want you to notice there are two key words here in verse 15, the word go and the word gospel. You can't spell the word gospel without spelling the word go first. And the word go in the original language of the Bible could literally be translated this way, as you are going. In other words, as you go about the normal rounds of life, your normal daily routine, you are to deliver the gospel message to those who do not know Him. I want you to think about your typical day and things that fill your typical day, and think about how they can be a forum for you to share the gospel. If you're an athlete, that's a wonderful way to use that forum as a launching pad for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you use technology. Well, technology is one of the greatest ways to share the gospel. And I'm so blessed to see how many of you do use technology to just put scripture out there on the World Wide Web. And it's wonderful. It's a blessing to me. Some of you are interested in music and the arts, and you can certainly use that to bring glory and honor to God's name. Just think about Rodrigo and how he's used his gift of playing the guitar to communicate the gospel to people that don't know him. There's all kinds of ways you can do that. When you go and have a dinner out in a restaurant, be nice to the waitress, be nice to the waiter. And if it looks like they're down, ask if you can pray for them about something. And that's planting a seed for the gospel. We had a friend back in Jacksonville, and every time she mailed her bills, her monthly bills, into different companies, she put a track in each bill. She was sowing gospel seed into people's hearts, and that's what we ought to do. As we go about our normal rounds of life, as we go about our normal routine, we should share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like I said before, that word gospel means good news. And when I was a boy, I was a paper carrier. That's a picture of me when I was in junior high school. You should have seen those pants. They were red, white, and blue striped pants. I mean, they were the stylinest pants in Brownwood, Texas. I had this paper route from the time I was in third grade till a senior in high school. And I just loved delivering papers. I got to where you see me with one bag there. I actually started having two routes where I would put one bag on one side and one bag on the other side. I would ride without my hands on this 10-speed bicycle, and I would pull papers like a double-barrel shotgun out of both bags, and I would throw them on both sides of the street. I got so good that I could throw them behind my back, and it was just a lot of fun. And you know, there were the normal hazards, you know, like the rain and the snow and the high wind, stuff like that. You still had to deliver the paper. But there was really, to me, one bad thing about being a paper boy. And that was collections, monthly collections, where you would go up to people's door, you'd knock on the door, and ask them for the amount that was due that month. Now, there were rare exceptions where we had yearly collections where people just didn't want to be bugged by the paper boy every month. And so they just had him come by once a year, and they'd pay for a whole year just in one check or one sum of money. And there was one lady, a very mysterious lady, on my paper route that was a yearly collection. And I'll never forget, all my friends that had lived around her said that she was a hatchet murderess and that she had killed her own husband and had buried him there on the large parcel of land at the end of the road up at the hill there. And I just filled my heart with terror to think about going up there and collecting from this hatchet murderess. And as I got onto the large parcel of land that is really in no neighborhood, it was just up there all by itself, I noticed the large lot there, plenty of room to bury a paper boy. And as I got into the carport, I noticed these large, rusty farm implements that could be used to chop a paper boy up into pieces. And I saw the old 1930s car that was dusty and it hadn't been used, it looked like, for years. And you can just imagine how my hand trembled when I knocked on that door for the very first time. And imagine my amazement when the door opened and instead of a hatchet murderess, there was a sweet little old lady that invited me in to have a drink and to eat a snack. And she was one of the sweetest people in the world. You know, I almost let my doubts and my fears keep me from delivering the news to her. And I believe that happens to a lot of us. We let our doubts and our fears paralyze us and keep us from delivering the best news that we could ever give to anyone. We must deliver the good news. We must go and share the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, notice something else. The last phrase here in verse 15, it speaks of the destination. Jesus said to them to go into all the world and to preach the gospel where? To every creature, no exception. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in Jesus' sight. The up and in, the down and out, the rich and the poor, the educated and the uneducated, the people that don't look like us, the people that don't talk like us, the people that don't live like us, this is included in every creature. And we must go across the street and around the world to share the gospel with those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And it begins right here in this room. It could be that you're seated in this building, in this service this morning, and you've never received Jesus as your Savior. You've never said yes to Him. And I pray that today you would have faith in the finished work of Christ, and that you would come to Him in childlike belief, and that you'd leave this place transformed by the power of Almighty God. There are people all of this building right now praying for you that you would do that very thing. And so let's talk to the Lord about it. Let's just bow our heads together. Oh, dear Father, how we just thank you so much for the gospel message, for the good news it is to any man, woman, teenager, boy, or girl. Father, today we pray for those that don't know you. Maybe they're sitting in this building today. I pray that they would receive you by faith. Lord, we pray for those that we know outside this building, those that we work with, those that we live with, those that we go to school with that don't know you. Father, help us to overcome our doubts and our uncertainties and deliver your good news to them. And Father, I pray that there'll also be people in this building today who feel your call to come and be a part of this church, a church that preaches your gospel message and encourages our members to deliver that message, to go across the street and around the world with the good news of Jesus. And Father, I pray for those that maybe have burdens on their hearts today, for a loved one, for a friend, for a classmate, for a business associate that doesn't know you. Father, may they have the freedom to come to this altar and pray for them today. And Father, as you move in our lives today, we're going to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.